AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
You're at number three. You know,
exactly.
Oh, what Berenica is doing with this four-seamer is to die for, you know.
And you say Toby so much that the number one pitcher will be like, you know, like Toby, you know, it'll be like Toby Johnson.
McTobey. Toby McTobey. Yeah. Toby McTobey.
The AI pitcher that Nick loves the best. Toby McTobey.
That's actually, you know what? At SP1.
That's going to be my Road to the Show guy, is Toby McTobey.
Toby McTobey. That you got. You actually, you have to now do Road to the Show and do it Toby McTobey, please. Oh, that will be the generic guy.
I've always said that we would have a pitcherless band because everyone is a musician in some way here, and we would be Toby and the Boyd Boys. That would be
maybe
it.
It's the Toby McTobies.
Yeah, maybe it's the Toby
I think their agent might be Toby McTobey.
Yeah, that's,
and they have their assistant Boyd Boy, you know,
in Boyd Boy. Yeah, exactly. All right, a couple other pitcher things here. There's two different groups here. Unexpected overperforming pitchers, it's projections versus expectations. I think these are two different tiers. The top guy on this list, I actually think you might have to excuse because I think he might be in a tier of his own. But who's your biggest buy as far as what the performance change has brought? Joe Ryan, Sonny Gray, Eduardo Rodriguez, Justin Steele. I obviously set you up to kind of think, I think Joe Ryan doesn't belong really in this group because I think he's a tier above, but I'm going to throw him out there. And if you want to excuse him and say the performance based on expectations of Sonny Gray, Eduardo, and Justin Steele, what's the one you buy the most?
Sure. First of all, you're saying his name wrong. It's Justin
Steele.
Justin Steele.
Got to say it like Justin an 80s Credible. Action film. You know, every time.
ECW wrestler, Justin his name was Steele. Justin Credible. And you could
great.
Get the thing. And it was a great iteration of.
Hey,
of
I can
usage.
Believe it. I believe it. It's credible. Joe Ryan. Is obviously, I think, is the most legitimate of this. Four seamer is fantastic. He's locating it super well. There's also a higher ceiling to hit that's more believable once he gets a slider and splitter really working consistently. He hasn't actually done that yet, but I mean, everyone's like, oh, he did super well last night. Yeah, against the White Sox. Okay, guys. Sonny Gray is interesting because the curveball is so effective thus far, and the slider has returned its swinging strike rate as well. He's introduced his cutter to limit his fastball usage, which is great because his fastballs are the reason he would get trounced at times. The thing is, we've seen seasons of Sonny Gray being volatile before. Like, he does this. He goes like a month or two and amazing, and then he falls down and then keeps going back up and down. So that's not quite as believable to me, but he's deserved the success he's gotten. And I think there's a really big distinction between deserving the success you've gotten and then deserving success in the future. And he's deserved what he's gotten, but that does not mean that he is now going to carry this off into the sunset of the 2023 season. But I still like him, but I kind of want to sell high on Sonny Gray at this moment because of that. Justin Steele is interesting. The last two starts haven't really been like his best self, and he got away with it because it's the Athletics and the Marlins. Four-seamer command is something I underrated entering this season. That's why he has super low hard contact rates. Slider hasn't been so good lately, but it's still been effective enough. I kind of want to sell high on it. I don't quite think that Justin Steele is now like an ace or anything. It's like, what, 1.49 ERA? I think I remember correctly. Fast was bringing that up the other day. That's not, you know, that's not going to stick. It's just a question of how far down is it going to go. And when he's a two-pitch pitcher without like overwhelming elite pitches in there, it does weird me out a bit. And Eduardo Rodriguez is a Toby, and I'm glad that he's taking advantage of it, but generally he's still a Toby, and we shouldn't really be treating him like a top 40 guy or anything close.
Not
to that.
Top 40 guy, but I'm a buy in on him, especially if he's moved. Numbers have moved up. He's not walking anybody right now. I get what you're saying.
I think I'm on the same page as you. Like, he's better than Merrill Kelly, for example.
Exactly.
So like, that's good. I have a term called a Holly now, actually, which is the best version of a Toby, which is like a 20 to 23, 24% K rate. And I think that's what Eduardo Rodriguez is.
You're creating a very weird little world here, Nick.
I know.
A very weird world with characters.
You got the pitcherless writers universe. I don't know.
Yeah. See, Blake Snell would get that one, though.
I try not to mess with other people. Not to mess with other people's PLCs and stuff like that. You know me.
Do you have more? Because I got one more question before we let Nick.
I got this one. I was going to do this last one under unexpected, and I didn't know if you wanted to do these.
Go ahead. I got one more.
This is a smaller group. Same question. Four players: Anthony Desclafani, Drew Smiley, Vince Velasquez, Marcus Stroman. Your buy out of that group.
Oh boy, Desclafani's good, but he's not as good as people want to say he is right now. I think he's just very schedule dependent. Vince Velasquez is weird because like he went 50-50 sliders and four seamers out of nowhere. He's always been like a four seamer guy. And then now he's like, I'm going to throw like 52% sliders. And it's
the Pirates don't care. They're like, you're not going to be here longer than 2 years.
Well, they don't care, but they're 20-10, Bogman.
Yeah. Well, it's because they're letting their guys throw the sliders. Didn't Oviedo start throwing the sliders?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oviedo started to do that. It's kind of like one. To me, it's the Pirates are the parents that are always away. You know?
So all the players are latchkey kids?
Yeah, they're in the sandbox.
It's fine.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Just mess around. Whatever. Mitch Keller, go to Trey Athletics.
That's a great article right there, by the way. It's the latchkey Pirates. Like the latchkey kids Pirates.
Yeah.
You guys take that.
Sounds like a movie.
So that's interesting there. Drew Smiley is doing the Blake Snell blueprint, and he was doing it the second half of last year, and he's picked up where he started. All of these guys are matchup dependent, though. And I want that to be very, very important to key in here is they're all guys that I'm comfortable starting, but they need to not be going against tier one or maybe even not tier two offenses, you know? And I don't think any of those are immune to that or going to break out of that mold. I know there was a fourth one you mentioned in there that was just kind of like the same thing. Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman is a little bit better.
Smiley.
Stroman's better. He's the same Stroman he's always been, which is like a...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Dependable, like 3.5, 3.6 ERA with a 1.15, 1.20 whip. Like, cool.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
We're good buddies. All right, Boggs, what do you got last for Nick?
My last one is for, and this is why I love you, Nick, because you offer rankings that are very like, hey, cut and dry, here's my rankings, here it is, but then you explain it in the gray area, which is what I love.
You read the notes, man. Steve, you're the best.
Get everything but my name right. You explain it in the gray area. So I want to know, because you said you had the rule earlier of I don't do it. Minor leaguers coming up in their very first start ever.
Yeah, I don't do it.
Do you have
so
a rule?
Wrong, but I don't do it. Yeah.
Do you have a rule for like rostering or trading for pitchers that are on the shelf and working their way back? Because of course it's case by case. Everybody knows that depending on what the injury is, but we've got a lot of guys that are working their way back. Verlander's coming back tomorrow, today, as you're listening to this, people. Woodruff is, you know, he got some positive news, they say, but subscapular strain. I don't know about that. I'm just asking in general.
Yeah.
Do you have a rule about I don't want any of these pitchers.
No, not, or, not well. I mean, you can say that one too. But like acquiring them, like maybe even after they have a couple starts, if they've already been hurt, you have. Is there any type of overarching rule about pitchers with injuries or coming off injuries or anything like that?
So yeah, first and foremost, I mean, the oldest rule I have was called the DLH, and now it's still ill, which is it used to be disabled list hangover, and rightly so. MLB changed it to injured list. Awesome. So it's still ill now. But you don't start guys back in the first game returning from an injury. And now that used to be more so in the past when we didn't have rehab data. So we didn't know how many innings they would go. We had less communication about pitches from managers and all that kind of stuff. Now that we have more data and we know like, oh, he'll go 80 plus or so, that actually changes that rule a bit. But for the most part, I still don't like starting guys back in the first one back. Now, the overarching rule about the fantasy manager, I have these pitchers. How do I treat them with injury risks and all that kind of stuff? I think something that I fail at a lot and I'm trying to be better at is thinking more about the now and having more faith in myself that if I focus on the first this month, this week, that I'll figure it out later. Okay. And we can get very wrapped up in, oh no, but this guy will be back in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And it's so beneficial for me to have that there. You don't even know that maybe someone you're picking up now to replace that is actually going to be just as good as that thing. You know, a lot of people turn down these stud prospects because they were stashing Rodon or they're stashing, I don't know, Severino or something along those lines. And now they've missed out on Tanner Bibee or they missed out on Mason Miller because of that. And I think there's too much emphasis on the future potential in general than the now, which is kind of weird for guys like Chase Upside, Chase Upside, Chase Upside. But I'm trying to say, like, do it now and then manage that with good streaming options against matchups. And don't hang on to the Toby. Take those chances. Keep it moving until you lock into something that you like. So generally, that is my rule of, you know, when it comes to injuries, guys have setbacks all the time. Right. And then we don't know how they are when they come back.
Yeah.
You know, now last year, though, we did see a lot of guys return from injury and kill it. Like Luis Castillo did that. Like Snell eventually did that, but for the most part did that. Lance Lynn eventually did that, right? And there was time to get there, but they did, right? So it's obviously a nuanced case-by-case scenario. But for the most part, I'm learning every year. I get pushed more and more to think about the now versus the later.
Smart. Nick Pollock, Pitcher List on the Twitter. Make sure to follow him. Go over to pitcherlist.com. Sign up for some PL Plus. Make sure you check out the streams, of course. Nick Pollock, killing it is always my friend. Anything else to plug? Go down.
Yes. Have you guys signed up for ITL Army yet on Patreon? What are you doing?
Oh, look at that.
Look at this
Why
guy.
Haven't you done that yet? I'm serious. These guys put in as much work as anyone else in the industry, if not more than anyone else. They deserve it. Go support the cause. What you guys know, that's what Bogman and the Welsh do is incredible. Give them some support. Go to patreon.com/ITL Army. Did I get that right?
Free plugs. InThisLeague.com.
InThisLeague.com. InThisLeague.com, guys. Easy.
Look at those free plugs from Nick Pollock.
Yeah,
Nick.
How many X plugs did you get from me today?
X plugs. That's exactly right. You know, I would still say your record still holds, and I test you at this. Nick has never said no, and Nick continuously never says no. So I just wanted to point out, didn't give Nick a lot of time on this. Well,
I get excited every time.
Yeah, well, I agree. I love doing podcasts with you. Love seeing you. Love talking to you. And thank you so much for hanging out with us, my friend.
My pleasure as always. I do recognize that was a threat. You said your record is impeccable, Nick. I remember.
Yeah, I'll remember next time. Just pointing out next
Nick
time.
Nick can also read between the lines. He sees all the gray areas.
You got a Cal Ripken record going on.
Just
letting you know. Gosh.
I'm excited for the next time. Thanks, guys, for the invite today.
Thanks, buddy.
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Hey, here right now. Leave a message or whatever. Podcast listeners leaving messages stupid.
Voicemails in this league at gmail.com. Yes, record yourself 60 seconds or less. You know how many homers could be given away by Brandon Pfaadt in that time? At least 5. So 5 homers for you. can give us a voicemail, whatever you want. You can talk crap about Brandon Pfaadt. You could talk about how he should be sent to the minors or Japan, or he shouldn't play baseball. Maybe he should go play cricket. You could talk about trades, like who you traded away for Brandon Pfaadt, or how much you hate everything because you traded for Brandon Pfaadt. You could have suggestions on who to start and sit. Like, should I sit Brandon Pfaadt ever? Like, all of those things are on the table, and they don't even have to be about Brandon Pfaadt if you don't want. But you can send them in, make it fun, and guess what, Boggs? Most voicemails I think we may have ever had on the baseball podcast.
Let's
this week.
Go. I like it.
Blowing it out. Now, I will say Barrow did send two.
So all right.
It still counts. And I'm a little bit worried about one, Boggs, because one says a song.
With Barrow, I just assume that it's a D-back song that I hate. So.
Oh, really? Oh, but you know what? I might ruin the bit. It might be your song. You know, the song,
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, it might be that. But
The RBI one.
Yeah, they played during. So that's what's gone. So we got lots of stuff here. Let's get to it. Not wait. Thank you guys for partaking. You're making the show better.
Yes.
So much fun. Here's our boy Steve S. with the Golden Pipes. What you got, Steve?
Bogman and Welsh want to stick in the Seattle bullpen for a player question as well as a new promotional pitch. You seemed to enjoy that last week, so I got another one for you here today. Question is, as I'm recording this, Andres Munoz is nearing a rehab assignment in AAA. A lot of us thought before the season started he might be a decent shot for saves in that bullpen. And with Seawall just being his normal rock-solid self, I don't know exactly how that could shake out the rest of the season. But with the hole in the starting rotation with Robbie Ray out, I'm wondering if maybe Seawald is a trade candidate. What do you think about that? How do you see the back end of the Seattle bullpen shaking out going forward? The promotional game, it's Little League Day in Seattle. It is Matt Brash Wiffle Ball or Live Grenade giveaway, where 4 out of 5 kids in attendance will be issued a Wiffle Ball with Matt Brash's smiling face on it. But 1 out of 5 kids in attendance will be issued a Live Grenade with Matt Brash's frowny face on it, because you really do need to simulate the entire Matt Brash experience with this giveaway. So are you attending that game?
I'm definitely not attending that game, because if you've ever been around a kid,
sounds like Ron Swanson is making this here. I don't like it.
I would argue that a Live Grenade would be the most dangerous thing you could give a kid. Now, I know you might be like, oh, duh, or like, what? But like, think about this. Kid gets a knife. They like, and I'm talking instant badness, because a kid gets a knife, they kind of hold it. They're like fake stab until someone gets hurt. You know, it'll happen at some point. A gun they hold, it's going to be bad. It's going to happen pretty quick, but they're not going to like find the trigger. They're going to hold it around and stuff like that. A child would instantly pull the pin on a grenade bait. Look at this. This is fun. Whoop. And so grenade night.
I feel like most adults I know would immediately.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
They pull the pin. So, and be like, oh, look, because you can put the pin back in and you know, and all that stuff. But I feel like my friends, I wouldn't give this to people I know and trust, a grenade. So no, I would not give it to a child.
There are definitely people that play grenade game where it's like pull out and you got to put it back in, right?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League,
why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. That's so, like, that's crazy. What would you, okay, what would you rather? You have to play one game. You have to play one game, Boggs.
Okay.
You play either grenade, pin, pull, or Russian roulette.
Mm.
And you got to do, like, 3 grenade roulette. Pin pulls, or you have to do 2 rounds of Russian roulette.
Russian roulette.
Okay, because you don't think you get that pin back in there?
No, I mean, I got fat, sweaty hands. I know. I'd be too nervous. I would definitely drop it. No, thank you. Okay. Yeah.
Keep going.
Nope. 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 We're done.
There's something.
Yeah, there is, but we're not doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I'm not going to go to Matt Brash Grenade Knight. That I'm going to pass on that one, but that was a good one. I would say no on the Seawald stuff. I know where you're going with it. This also was like before Bryce Miller was shoved. This was like 3 days before. But even before that, I said no, because the last thing a winning team does is get rid of rock solid bullpen. You just don't do it. So no, I don't think there's any scenario. It does put a big old slap in our face that Andres Munoz is ever going to be a significant steals guy, because I think you just put Seawald at the back of the rotation or the back of the bullpen, and you let Munoz be a fireman type of guy. I still think he can be a closer, and if Seawald gets hurt, he'll be there, but he's not really showing any signs of letting off. It's crazy, his Baseball Savant page. It is just rocking to batting average kept down. His strikeout numbers, his K percentage is in the top 7% of the league. Expected batting average is like 157. It's or ERA, 157 is crazy. So he's been, like you said, rock solid. I just don't think it just doesn't bode well for Munoz, but there's no way they do a trade. I can't. Have you ever seen, can you recall a team trading away like an elite relief pitcher while they're heavily contending?
Not usually, you know, especially a guy coming off an injury, because teams are going to knock him for that in the trade. So yeah, he's going to be at the back end. And if you're rostering him, just hope that he, you know, gets you a couple saves here and there when Seawald's been used 2 days in a row or whatever, or, you know, if Seawald goes down with an injury, here comes Munoz into that spot. So,
yeah,
I think it's going to be pretty much status quo for them right now.
All right, here's our boy Tog. I haven't heard from Tog in a while. Tog, he's a guy, but the Tog is in here. Tog,
we got Tog.
Fellas, what's going on? It's your boy Tog coming to you live from the Nation. I feel like it's been a minute. What's been going on? How you been? How the kids?
Yep.
I know last time I messaged you, Welsh, you were going through some hardships, and I hope everything is went well and it sorted itself out. It always seemed to. I myself has just recovered from a knee injury. I know I tore my ACL. I know when we talked, I told you I tore my meniscus, but that's because I shot my mouth off before I got the MRI. But it was indeed a torn ACL. I was out for 8 months. We're back at it and getting to it.
You're back in the ballgame.
So I made a trade last week. I traded Brian Reynolds and Lucas Giolito for Adolis Garcia. That's it. Points league. I have a question about Alec Manoah. Kind of want to trade him. What am I looking for? My next one is Arenado. You guys worried? And Captain Jack, if you're listening, I know you don't do requests. Maybe you do. There is a Cotton Eye Joe screaming for a Connor Joe parody. Make it happen.
Ooh, love you guys. That's very good. Da-da-da-da, Cotton Eye Joe. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Connor Joe? Yeah, I hear. All right, so there's a lot of stuff that Todd got in there. Everything's horrible. That sucks about your knee. Glad you're better. Your questions. I hate your trade. You traded away Reynolds and Giolito to get Adolis. Is that what I heard in a points league?
Yeah, I hate trading a pitcher in a points league. I mean, a lot of leagues are adjusting and the pitchers are worth less than they were a couple years ago, but I still don't think I like that one.
So, yeah, I mean,
I like Adolis, but
Brian Reynolds a lot in a points
league. Yeah, Brian Reynolds is smashing.
So, I feel like if you wanted Adolis, you could have done that close to straight up. So maybe I see where it's going. It's just like Adolis is more volatile in a points league. So I don't love that. You already heard about Manoah. We talked a ton about Manoah. You know, what are you going to get? I don't know. The streets are getting hot and heavy on the Manoah front.
What you really want is you'd really like, you know, two good starts from him and then somebody is struggling and needs a pitcher like that. That's what you want. That's where you take advantage if you're rostering Manoah, but you can't do it now because he's been so bad. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's not enough like real justification to it. But like when you see a historical track record of a pitcher that's performed really well and they perform so bad, I have a hard time believing that it's going to continue to be so bad. Like right. This could be the worst. I think I've argued this might be the worst. So that's why I was pushing like a little bit with Nick's stuff, where it's like, if you're looking at rest of season, maybe he's going to be post 50, but like, I can't personally look, and I don't know how much would change honestly, if I were doing like a draft list, if I was starting versus a rest of season list, like I'm going to kind of, maybe the rookies would adjust a little bit, but I just think Manoah could be higher on that. So what I'm getting at is like, might be the worst time to trade Manoah, unless this is what's sneaky. You got to be sneaky. If you're doing same positional stuff, maybe you could get a Bybee and something. You know, you could get a, one of these rookies, a Logan Allen, a Bybee, definitely not Brandon Pfaadt. And you could get one of those guys and then get a hitter because you're trading the name value of Manoah. And I think that might speak a little bit more to what you could do. What else is Arenado? Not, I mean, I'm worried about the Cardinals in general.
Yeah. So I was just looking through Arenado's career, and it seems like he has, and it's been scattered all throughout different times in the season in his career. It's not like he struggles every year to start, but he seems to hit somewhere in the season. Sometimes it's been the beginning of his career. He just has a terrible month. So I'm hoping that that's what we're getting from him right now, and that it's going to pick back up. He's 32. I think he's not ancient. So I don't think this is, you know, old age creeping in for him yet or anything, but it is concerning, but there's nothing you can do with him now. You can't trade him when he's playing this bad.
It's a lot of tough trade candidates right now. Yeah. So I think that's where it sits. All right. Good hearing from you, Togs. We've got Aaron. Aaron with a rate my trade here. And he said, it's my first year listening to the show. Love it. Thanks for making the day go quicker. Thank you, Aaron. My friend, for partaking. What do you got?
Farmer Aaron, coming to you here from Wisconsin. I got a trade question for you.
From the birdcage.
I just traded Paul Sewald and Logan Gilbert for Devin Williams and Edward Cabrera. How did I do? Love the show. For context, I have good starting pitching depth, and my only other closer is Clay Holmes. The reason why I traded Sewald was I'm afraid Munoz is going to come back and take the closer. Interesting. Let me know.
What was he doing? It was a clap back there. It was like a bop, bop, bop.
Let's go.
I love, personally, by the way, there's something I love about like super outdoors voicemails. Like when, when our boy Josh would be in his kill room, and or he'd be out, he'd leave his kill room and he'd be outside into like the forest. There's something about like
where he buried bodies. Right.
Yeah. He like just got done burying a body or something like that. And then he'd call us and be like, hey, what's up, guys? And like, I love hearing the outdoors. And I actually, all I want to know is like, what was he doing and what was he slapping at the end?
It's clear that he's seeing the birds. So
maybe slapping a pig's ass or something like that. I don't know what the end of it was. Did he say, was that a points league or was that a category? Did you catch that?
No, I didn't catch
it. Let's retry. Let's literally listen to that. I need to know. Did he might not have even said, so I'll assume it's Roto.
Farmer Aaron, coming to you here from Wisconsin. I got a trade question for you. I just traded Paul Sewald and Logan Gilbert for Devin Williams and Edward Cabrera.
So he didn't give an explanation. I kind of like Gilbert a lot. I think he's making big improvements, and I don't know if Sewald is going to let go. Devin Williams is an elite closer, so there's an upgrade. I think it's kind of even. Yeah, I'm not a big Edward Cabrera guy. So like
he's pitching well though.
If you were to flip these, if you were to say it's Logan Gilbert for Devin Williams gets the edge. If you were to then look at it as Paul Sewald versus Edward Cabrera, Sewald gets a bigger edge. So I think it's like right in the middle of being pretty even based on needs and stuff like that. Cause you also secured your second closer, and Clay Holmes, by the way, might have that gone. That job might be gone. Michael King is a player that everyone should be looking at. So I think we can end up looking at that as like it's a solid, solid trade. I don't think there's a win on either side right now, because I do really like Gilbert, and I think Sewald's going to hold it down for a bit. But Devin Williams is a big upgrade, and we'll see what happens with Edward Cabrera. Big strikeouts, just
I agree. Blocks. I would say it's a little bit on the Gilbert side, but yeah, I'm fairish. So
fairish, exactly. All right, Luke. I think this might also be a first time. Luke just says, love the show. Keep up the good work. What do you got?
Thank you, Luke.
What's up, Bogman and the Welsh? This is Luke from Omaha, Nebraska. Love the pod. Recently found it at the beginning of the year. No doubt you guys are going to help me win my league. My question's about one of your Diamondbacks, Alec Thomas.
Oh,
bad. Oh, okay.
Saw him on the leaders for guys who have the highest differential between expected and actual batting average. So do you think he's got some positive regression coming? Is he worth a pickup in a 5 outfield 12 team roto league? some options, maybe drop for him Jerks and Profar of the Rockies or Riley Green of the Tigers. Would you drop either of both of those guys for Alec Thomas? Thanks.
Thanks, brother. This is a good question. Alec Thomas is currently hitting 176. Not great. But he has a pretty decent, for a guy hitting 176, an impressive baseball savant page, which leads to
his BABIP is 219.
Gross. It's going to positive regression. Also, he almost has a 100 point difference between his actual batting average and expected batting average. He hits under 22% K percentage, almost a 10% walk rate. His hard hit is close to 50% as well. And he's stealing bases. I don't think it's marked here, but I think he steal his fourth base today. So I believe he's got four stolen bases on the season. He's struggling with like high stuff inside, which I hope he changes on, but he's having really bad luck. I would dump Profar for him without second guessing. Cause I just like, who cares? Like, it's fine. Like Profar's fine. He can steal some bases, a little bit of power, but he's not hitting for average. I know there's positive regression coming for Alec Thomas. I just don't know to the degree, but even in all of these struggles, he's got a couple homers. He's got a handful of stolen bases. Worst case, he might be.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! 10 or 12 homers, 15 to 20 stolen bases. If the positive regression really works in his favor, you could dream on 15, 20, 15, 25. So, yeah, I would buy the upside of things improving for Alec Thomas over holding Profar. The Profar means nothing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the location of Profar in Colorado, but he's doing what every Colorado guy does. He's hitting 286 at home and 152 on the road, and that's in 13 home games and 13 away games. So, he is very specific where maybe Alec Thomas doesn't start every single day. He's definitely starting way more days with Jake McCarthy in the minor league. So, yeah, I'm with Welsh. I think I'd drop Profar and pick up Alec Thomas and, you know, ride him out for a little bit. And if he doesn't do it, then dump him and pick up somebody else that's hot.
Don't be specific. Don't be specific.
Don't be specific. Don't be specific.
Hey, it's your boy, Tim. Tim's in here and looks like this is a Matthew Libertor question.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is probably a prospect one question, but another voicemail segment would definitely make Welsh SpongeBob meme out of here. Mm-hmm. But what are we doing with Matthew Libertor's AAA stats this year? Are we buying it? He's been absolutely killing it. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, brother. You can ask prospect one questions here. I think this is actually a great marriage of one. It might be weirder if you're asking about like a low A guy, but Libertor's a guy that's going to get called up soon. 12 K per nine, crazy, 2.14 ERA, an XFIP that is also under three, very, very impressive. Cut his home run rate down to 10, which it's been as high as 15.8, and he has spent three different seasons, by the way, in AAA, which is obviously his problem. He's mastered this level. Where things are positive with him, it is a next level K percentage. He has never hit 30% in his career until this year, where he's 33%. Walk rate's still been a little bit high, but he's keeping batters honest. He's keeping them off of scoring. His home run numbers have dropped, and he's been way more effective. And this is a dude that has just a big old loopy curve, which is great. The fastball is obviously setting things up better. This is the type of environment. I don't think he's a 12 K per nine major league guy. I don't think he's going to be that. But could he come in, do a slow roll like a Mackenzie Gore, takes a little bit of time, gives up three runs a game, strikes out five or six, can eat some innings? Absolutely, he can eat some innings. I mean, last year, between the majors and AAA, he had just under 150 innings. So there's no reason this guy couldn't be pushed up to like 170. I think it's just a matter of time. I think it's a matter of time before he comes up. I would definitely buy in on picking him up to see if the changes translate over, but sometimes they don't. Bryce Miller stunk in Double A, was amazing up in the majors. I mean, we really have to see how that mix works, but you got a Gold Glove defense behind you, which is great. And you just got to not, you know, walk batters and get yourselves in bad positions. And he's trying to do a better job of cutting that down while also giving up like no homers. So that encourages me. I don't know if you got any lib thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Cardinals need a starter really, really bad too. So, I mean, the pitching has been, outside of Montgomery and Flaherty, who have been fine. I wouldn't call them great. Montgomery's been pretty good. Flaherty's been fine. But Michaelis, his ERA is around 6. His xERA is around 6.5. Steven Matz, his ERA is 6.4. His xERA is 5. His FIP is 5.33. XFIP is 4, but still not great. And then who is the last starter here? Jake Wolford has been terrible. So, yeah.
I think Libs could come up in the next week. I think he could be up here, like, you know, by the time this airs, they could have an announcement that he's coming up.
Yeah. Looking at that, he's a nice grab and stash, especially if someone gives you a garbage start that you have and you have a spot open. I think Libertor is a nice grab and stash right now. So,
agreed. All right. We still got a bunch more here. Let's go to Don. Let's go to our boy Don. It's the
Donnie.
Lieutenant Don. Captain.
Bogman of the Welsh, Lieutenant Don. Zero snark on the comment last week. It is what we love about you is the everyday banter along with the fantasy analysis. So sets you apart, makes you unique, and what we love about
love you.
Love
you, Donnie.
Baseball season going exactly as we had planned, lining up for a Pittsburgh-Baltimore World Series.
Right.
Live in Atlanta and cannot bet, but if you put $20 down on a Pittsburgh-Baltimore World Series, what is the payback?
$12 million.
$20 so your much. Way. Not saying it's going to happen, but it's $20, and if it pays out, you know, what's that return? Fantasy-wise, who are two players that you're right and wrong about? Zero shares, Max Muncy, on his way to on pace for 60 home runs, 120 RBIs. Gunnar Henderson, I have all the shares. How long do I keep him? When do I cut him loose or just ride it out? Peace, guys. Love you. Bye.
Brandon Fott, all the wrongs. Who have I been? There's definitely some. Like Adolis I've been wrong about, I think. I'll just say Brandon Fott because I'm in that mode. Right. I'm right about Corbin Carroll. Everyone can suck it with their thoughts on that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm right about Manoa.
I'm right about AJ Pollock. We're waiting for that. We're waiting for that slice to come. Like I said, he broke up that no-hitter yesterday with a bomb, but he's hitting 113. He is awful. He also made a mistake in the outfield yesterday. So it's like, why do we have this team? Well, why do you have this guy on this team? So, hey, look, you talk smack, I don't forget it. So that's all I'm saying about AJ Pollock. So that's my right for sure. I can't even remember the fantasy questions now. What were they?
Yeah, what was
it? Not bet,
played at the end again.
Down on it.
Oh, so the first, you know, one of them was interesting. The Pirates thing. Just want to point out, I think we talked about this when Cardi was on. But Cardi's projection system, the number one best bet on their system to do the over win totals was the Pittsburgh Pirates. Just want to point that back out. That was his system had targeted that, and look at them now. So that's
pretty
hilarious.
General with win projections, because that's what we do over at CFP Winning Edge for college football. And Nick is like over on all the bottom teams and he's under on all the top teams. So most projection systems, like the bad teams are.
It's a pretty common thing for sure. Yeah. Diamondbacks would have been a good bet too. Let's see.
I'm going to send $20 your way. Not saying it's going to happen, but it's $20. And if it pays out, you know, what's that return? Fantasy wise, who are two players that you're right and
wrong? Oh, yeah. No, it was just the right and wrong. It was just the right and wrong.
There was one other one.
It was just the two players we were right and wrong about. That's it. That's all done. Don's not overwhelming.
I'm just
going
to stick with AJ Pollock.
So what were you right about? That's the guy you're
right about. AJ Pollock. Exactly.
Who are you wrong about?
I don't know. Most players. So, yeah.
Good. That's a good one. All right. Dylan. What's up, Dylan?
What's up, guys? Dylan here. I had a couple of questions for you this week. First, Taj Bradley and Jordan Walker. I'm in a situation where I have both on the same team. It's a 12-team head-to-head category league with five bench spots and no IL spots. So it's been a little tough to keep them both. And with injuries creeping up, I'm thinking I might need to move off of one of them. On the wire, if on the hitting side, JD Davis, G1 Bay, and Nick Senzel have caught my eye. On the pitching side, it's a little better. Chris Sale just got dropped. Mitch Keller, Eduardo Rodriguez are also available. Would you make the move on any of those guys? Secondly, in a fab.
Well, hold on. Let's stop there for a second because we keep getting lost on these questions. I don't want to drop Bradley, but between the two, I don't like your hitting options that much. And I don't think Walker's down for crazy long. I don't think Bradley's down for super long, but they have clearly told us it's going to be 2 to 3 starts. So you've got another week and a half to two. If you had to do it, I guess Bradley, because of those other options, Keller is pretty slick. You had another one or two in there that Eduardo, I think, is kind of like a trade guy you can get right now. I think Bradley's better than all of them. But, you know, if Keller keeps going, not that much more. So if you had to, I would go on the Bradley side because I just Walker's getting. I think both these guys are getting swooped up, though. That's the only thing. But I understand injuries are creeping up. If you could make other moves, you just happen to have two guys I really wouldn't want to come off of. But it would probably be Bradley, I suppose, between them.
Would you pick up Sale?
I might pick
Sale is the grenade that we just talked about, right? It's like if you pull the pin and you've got sweaty hands, that pin ain't going back in. You know, that's what Chris Sale is right now. He's such a grenade. But by the way, guys that I got wrong, I mean, put Trey Turner at the top of that list. You know, hasn't been good since World Baseball Classic, and Bobby Witt hasn't been good either. So just thinking about that, by the way. So yeah,
those dudes at the top there. I just went past it. You had another question.
What's up, guys? Dylan here. Secondly, in a fab league, it's another head-to-head category league. Gunnar Henderson was recently dropped, and I'm wondering how much you would bid on him, if at all. I have $60 left out of 100, and I'd be looking to maybe drop either Bryson Stott or Brett Petey. Would you do that, and how much would you bid? Thanks. Keep it up. Peace.
Buddy, that's tough because that's not a keeper. That's a redraft league. Gunner not been good. Gunner been real bad. And Beatty, I don't want to drop Beatty right now. That's not a guy I'm looking at dropping. And I guess it would be Stott. I really like Stott, man. But I would drop Stott. 184 batting average for Gunner, one homer, over 30% K percentage. He has a big walk percentage, which is keeping him up. I think he could get sent down pretty soon if they want to experiment and have him like reestablish himself. But it would be Stott. It wouldn't be Beatty.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it's still Stott, and I would do it. It's close. I mean, Stott's still hitting over 300, but I mean, what does he have? Two homers and how many swipes so far? He's not doing a lot there. Two homers and three swipes. Yeah, it'd have to be Stott. I would do it. Well, how much? How much of that $60 he has left?
See, I don't know if I would be hyper aggressive though in redraft either. 30? I don't. If you have 60, no, dude, I don't know if he goes for over 15. He's so bad right now, dude.
Yeah, I would go 20. And that's kind of what I was going to say, too, is like, I wouldn't be super aggressive. Do 20 to 30. And then if somebody else wins, just be okay with it. Because you have the hotter hitters. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so you're not burning up all of your money to get him, but you at least took a whack at it. So that's what I would say.
I might do 15, just throwing that out there. That might be my number that I end up doing with that, but you can play it out. There you go. All right, Dylan, and then one last little set from Barrow. Or I'm sorry, no, this is Billy. What's up, Billy?
Howdy, fellas. This is Billy again, back with you today. Got another dynasty trade I literally just pulled off about 5 minutes ago. I traded my Christian Encarnacion Strand and Bryce Miller for Micah Harris II. Let me know what you think. Also, what in tarnation is going on with Jose freaking Abreu? Is he washed? Or is he going to come back a guns a-blazing as soon as we all give up hope on him? Y'all let me know what you think.
Billy, you got
I hope Billy is a voice actor. I really hope he's a voice actor because that is outstanding. Worst. I mean, the detail is outstanding. You definitely at least grew up, around people like my family. So
the worst is what got. So Bryce Miller and Christian Encarnacion Strand. Yeah, that's a great dynasty trade.
Harris,
I like him. Michael Harris has been real slow go.
He's been hurt.
He's hitting 206, got a couple stolen bases. He's missed a ton of time, but the hard hit is there. 112 Max EV almost 113. It's 57%. K rate is lower than last year, doubled his walk rate early on, and his XBA is like almost 30 points higher. It's not great, but it's still 30 points higher. So
that's, I feel like that's a trade that can work out for both those guys.
It could.
Like,
you know, I think Strand is going to be good. Miller looks good, but this is a cool trade. I like this trade.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair trade. And Jose Abreu is worse. I mean, what else can we say? He's terrible right now.
He's kind of worse to me. The power.
Like, I'm not worried about Arenado at all. I'm worried about.
That's Jose one I got wrong. Worse. No, that is one, a big one I got wrong. I was both pretty heavy. Wrong.
Yeah,
I was heavy Abreu this year, so that was definitely not.
I can't believe he's been this bad. Like, maybe even starting out bad, okay, but this bad is ridiculous.
So. All right, so we have the Barrow Report and a Barrow Song.
All right, let's go Barrow Report first, then Barrow Song to end it. So.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh!
With the Jack Boys parody song, I'll listen to the very end. ITITITITL. ITITITITL. I love you. CBS Fantasy Pros rates and Barrows too.
Oh, Barrows is hurt.
9,000 podcasts, I wouldn't listen over you. Now I know it'd be a sin if I didn't rate you 10 out of 10. Oh, ITITITL, ITITITL, I love you.
I love you.
Do you know what that's from?
That's the Mario, the
peaches.
I got it. I got it. I haven't seen the movie, but I got it.
Peaches.
I feel
I
feel like that's something somebody would call me. They'd be like, oh, look, it's Fat Jack. Here he is. Thanks a lot. So thank you, Barrow. The song was great. It definitely wasn't cringy and gave me goosebumps. So that's good.
Bachman definitely did. We both didn't turn red 100%. And you 100% were not on over 100 milligrams of gummies or whatever. That was a lot. All right, guys. That's the episode. I have no idea how long this is because we had all this like intern time. And God, this could be 2 hours. This could be an hour 40. I don't know. But thank you guys for hanging out with us and still listening. You guys can find us over at InThisLeague.com. Come and sign up. Support the boys before we freak out and lose it all. Also, sign up over at Underdog Fantasy. Promo code ITL. Get back with us. Let's get some signups. Let us know if you're a new signup. We're probably going to do something this month. We just haven't figured it out yet. But we're going to be playing pick'em games with you. We're going to, I think I'm going to do a pick'em group on the GroupMe room. So if you want to be a part of that, we can throw out our favorite picks for the day and use that promo code ITL. It hooks us up. It hooks you up. You get a 100% match. So thank you very much all for hanging out. Thank you to Nick. No thanks to that dirty, rotten scoundrel, Brandon Fott. We will be back again next time, hopefully, right here on In This League.
See ya.